First Thessalonians chapter 4, if you're there, let's stand. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. First Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says this, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." Father, I pray, Lord, as we look at these verses, that you might help us to understand that we have been called to cleanness. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know that anybody ever plans on getting married and they have this in mind. Look right up here. I want your attention this morning. They have this in mind that they're going to get married and they're going to just get married for 2 years. And, you know, what they're planning on is they're planning on coming home and maybe having their husband leave them a note, or maybe find out on his cell phone that he's got another girlfriend, or having a terrible breakup, or nobody plans on getting some package in the mail with divorce papers, although it happens all the time. I think the truth is that when people get married, they really have in their essence and in their minds a fantasy. They have a kind of a Cinderella story that, you know, we're going to live happily ever after. Truth is that most of you look around your world and look around your relationships, and truth is most of you, other than seeing it on TV, never really seen anybody live happily ever after. Most of the relationships you know are in divorce. Some of you can tell, yeah, I've got three brothers and all three of us have a different father. Some of you may know what it is to come in on a regular basis and find a different guy in your mom's bedroom. That's just common life. I mean, to have somebody just, listen to me, totally devoted to you forever, that doesn't happen anymore. Have somebody just love you, cherish you, not just because you got a body, not just because you put out, love you, committed to you. Not because you have to beg them to tell you. Before we do this, tell me you really love me. All right, he'll say whatever he wants to say. There's no laughing matter. Most young men and most young ladies literally set themselves up for destruction, for heartbreak, for divorce. I got news for you this morning. That's not God's plan. God never intended for Adam and Eve to only be together for a couple of years. God intended for them to have a lifetime together. I'm thankful for the history that I have. I have grandparents who married each other as virgins, who were married 53 years. As a grandson, I have the privilege of being in my grandparents' 50th wedding renewal celebration. Pretty special day. As I watched my grandpa and my grandma come down the altar there in Brandon, and I watched them. She wore that year, instead of wearing a white dress, she wore a yellow dress, symbolizing the gold, the value of their wedding. I thought that was a good color. She wore gold that day, symbolizing how precious it was to be married for 50 years to the same man. And I watched them share their vows with each other. My mom and dad. I don't know how long they've been married. But it's over. Let me see here. I think they've got about 2 more years and they come up on 50 years. I have a wonderful wife. Precious wife. My best friend. My best friend in all the world. You know, I miss her like crazy. Call her like 4 times a day and text her about 20 times. I'm not joking when I say she's my best friend. I've had 3 wonderful children with her. And let me just say this. When she walked down the aisle, she was wearing white. And it just wasn't a cheap color. It was really representing her virginity. And when I stood on that altar, and I pledged my heart to her and my life to her, she's the only woman I've ever known in a physical relationship. Ah, oh, man, you missed out. I'm not sure. 23 years of powerful marriage. Wonderful marriage. I mean, romantically crazy, mad about you marriage. 23 awesome years. Say, you're looking? Brother, when you got the best, no need to fish anywhere else. Now what I'm talking about, some of you say, man, I wish I could get that. But you're not setting yourself up for that, you're setting yourself up for failure. I've got a daughter that's 19, she was here this week. Her and I have had a lot of conversations, we're really tight, we're really close. She's saving her kiss, her first kiss. She's never even held hands with a guy. Some of you may laugh at that, and you may say, oh, I can't believe that. When you're married 10 years, then you tell me if she missed out. See, she doesn't have to give a piece of herself to every guy that's out there. Listen to me. When God created Adam, when God created Adam, He created one perfect woman for Adam. Her name was Eve. He didn't put Adam out there with 30 girls and say, now try them all out. Come back and tell me which one you like, and, or if you can, you know, if you don't like one, just let me know and I'll create another batch for you. No, God knew when He created Eve, and Adam saw Eve, he was like, whoa, man, that's the one. God already knew what Adam wanted. God already knew it was not good for man to be alone. God had it planned out. I want you to look at this verse, and I want you to get some teaching this morning, because the Bible says here, and I want to preach on this subject of sanctification, because here, I want you to catch this. We find here that there's a word here called sanctification. And notice with me in verse 1. He says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to, what's the next 2 words? Please God. Now hang on. And he says this, so ye would abound more and more. Now I want you to catch this. What he says is this. If you'll do these 2 things, if you will know how you should walk, the word walk is your your conversation, your life, how that you, it's not just how that I walk. It's literally how I live my life. But he says, if you'll know how that you live, notice not only the actions, but notice the motive, and to do everything in your life for this purpose. What does he say in verse 4? How ye ought, or verse 1, how ye ought to walk and to what? Please God. Hey, listen. If you'll make your life about pleasing God, you know what will happen in your life? You'll abound more and more and more and more. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, I'll give to you, I'll add to you, you'll be more fruitful, you'll be more productive, you'll have more success, you'll be more blessed, you'll be more happy in your life if you'll just live your life pleasing God. Now listen, the Christian life is not about do's and don'ts. You know, we come here and there's a rule book and, you know, you can't do this and you can't do this and you have to be here and you have to go to chapel and you have to listen. But the Christian life's really not about do's and don'ts. The Christian life is simply this: what pleases God? And if you'll learn how to live your life to please God, you'll find here that he says in verse 2, for you know what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God. Now hang on. I believe that God has a perfect will for your life. And he has a will. Your life's not a blank page. It's not like, as I said the other day, it's not like an empty book and you just get to write in all the chapters. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So, teenager, listen to me. God already has your life mapped out, and it's a glorious journey. It's a wonderful journey. The happiest thing in the world. But notice what he says. For this is the will of God, and your ears ought to perk up, and you ought to say, now, Brother Nance, what's the will of God for my life? I mean, tell me. Am I going to be a carpenter? Am I going to be a school teacher? Am I going to be the mayor of Haines City? What's the will of God for my life? Well, I don't know what the will of God is as far as down the road. I don't know God's will as far as reading your palm and telling you you're going to have 4 kids and live on, 19th Street. I don't know that, but I do know the will of God for your life, and that's for you to be sanctified. It says in verse 2, or verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. The word sanctification has to do with purification, purity, or holiness. Now I want you to listen to me. I'm going to just give you a couple of thoughts. When we are saved, our soul is purified by the blood of the Lamb. When I'm saved, my position with God, because I'm in Christ Jesus, my soul is sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. But although my soul is saved and purified by the blood of the Lamb, I am to live out that sanctification, that purification, that righteous living on a daily basis. Listen to me, teenager, when I say this to you. Purity and holiness is not an option for the Christian. It is a command. God has commanded you to live this way. God has commanded you that this is the way, walk ye in it. And if you'll walk in this way, as according to verse 1, and if you'll do it to please God, you'll abound more and more and more. And listen to me, for the teenager who says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a fornicator. Now, fornication, let's kind of get this word right. Adultery is a physical relationship with the opposite sex while you're married. That's not with your married partner. Does everybody understand that? So here I am. I'm married to my wife, Amy, and, she sees me at McDonald's holding hands with some other girl. That's adultery. Because I'm already committed to her. Now wait. Before the bond of marriage, the word prior to that, the lifestyle prior to that is fornication. That's, let me help you with this. Okay, well, Brother Ant, and I'm gonna try to be as general as I can, but I want us to catch this. You say, Brother Ant, we didn't go all the way. Fornication is uncleanness outside the bonds of marriage. So notice here, he says that you're either holy, you're either sanctified, or you're a fornicator. There's no in between. Does everybody catch that? You're either over here doing the will of God, living a holy life, a pure life, a sanctified life, or you're over here and you're a fornicator, you're defiled, or you're unclean. And this is the will of God. Now let me help you with something. God knows this is the right way. This is the way that leads to His will. This is the way that abounds more and more and more and more. Does everybody understand that? And so what is happening is this, in our life, we find here that there are those things that are trying to pull us aside and trying to get us away from God's will and to get us away from what God desires in our life. For every guy in here, listen to me, for every Adam in here, God has a perfect Eve. And for every Eve in here, God has a perfect Adam. I'm reminded of the story of Abraham when he wanted a daughter for Isaac. You know that story? And Abraham said, all right. He said, I'm going to send my servant. And the servant goes, travels all the way back to Abraham's homeland there, and he's going to try to find a relative there, someone of that bloodline to carry on and to marry his wife. And man, what a job. And the servant goes back and he prays a prayer and he says, now Lord, he said, only you know this girl. And he said, so let it be the girl that offers me water, and not only offers me water, but offers to water all of my camels. Do you know that a camel can drink almost 50 gallons of water? That's a lot of water to pull up. And she came, and all of a sudden, as he's praying, a woman comes, and she offers him water, and she also offers to water all of his camels. That's just a coincidence. That's just a coincidence. I mean, God doesn't really have it outlined like that. Yeah, He does. I said, yeah, He does. No, Brother Nancy, you got it wrong. You could have married Amy, or you could have married Cindy, or Sally, or Julie, or Jennifer. I mean, you could have married anybody you wanted to marry. Not according to God's will. According to God's will, there's only one. One for my life. And you know what's amazing? God put it in her heart. God put it in my heart. God brought us together. We had the same desires in life. We had the same love in life. We had the same desire to serve God in life. It was kind of funny. I mean, really, we were serving the Lord. Everybody around us said, you two ought to get married, man. It's just so obvious. God's pretty good at being God if you'll let Him. You've got it in your mind. You got to find a boyfriend because you're 14. And if I don't have a boyfriend and I'm 14, I mean, what are people going to think? Forget what the world thinks. What you need to do is quit worrying about all the distractions out there, and you need to quit worrying about pleasing your friends and trying to fit in their mold and trying to follow MTV's idea of what a woman ought to be. And you need to just kind of get in the Bible and say, you know what I'm going to start doing? I'm just going to walk as He wants me to walk, and I'm just going to start pleasing God, and this is God's will, even my sanctification, and I'm going to abstain from all fornication. Now, the word abstain means, it's a really, really hard word to understand. It means abstain. There was a boy a couple of weeks ago was at camp, and he was playing with a snake. Anybody want to guess what happened? You know, he kept telling everybody, "Oh, I know how to handle snakes. I know how to handle snakes. I know how to do this." Everybody's like, "Get away from the snake." "No, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing." "I don't know what I'm doing." See, some of you get as close to the line as you can, and then you've been bit by the serpent, and then you're like, "Well, I never thought it'd go that far." The word abstain means to abstain. Notice here, I want to give you a couple of thoughts, if I can, quickly. I want you to get this. The Bible says here, verse 4, "For every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and," what's the next word? "Honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence." Now, let me just give you, I want to just say this before I jump into this message. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, in what two ways? Verse 4, I want you to get them. You should know how to possess your vessel in what two ways? In sanctification, hang on, you know what that means? It means in purity. It means your vessel, hang on. Your vessel, you should have watchdogs around your vessel, whether it's a guy, whether it's a girl, you should know how to possess your vessel. You should know how to carry yourself. You should know when you sit. Ladies, you should know when you sit how to sit and to guard your body and to keep it covered. You should know when a boy sits down to you and he sits close and he wants to kind of brush his arms next to you, you should just kind of slide over and you should just send him a loud and clear message. Ain't yours and you ain't touching it. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying you should know how to possess your vessel, first of all, in sanctification. That's your job. That's the will of God for your life right now. Say, "Brother Nancy, I'm 14. What's God's will for my life?" To abstain fornication. To walk as he would have you to walk in sanctification and in honor and to please God. By the way, if it's not pleasing God, don't do it. So understand the first part is this, is that you need to know how to possess your vessel in what? Sanctification. Secondly is what? Honor. MTV does not honor women. They're nothing more than a piece of meat for sale. When he takes advantage of you, that is not honor. By the way, if any boy wants to date my daughter, I better get a phone call. You mean he's got to call you? If he's a man, he will call me. If he honors my daughter, he will call me. And he had better declare his intentions up front. Say, "You don't mess around." Absolutely not. I respect my daughter too much to treat her like a piece of meat. She's not for sale. And when I walk her down the aisle, which I plan to do, and I give her away, which I'm going to do, I'm all business. I'm giving her away one time. And that guy, if he doesn't honor her, don't think for a second he's going to get her. So you kind of take it seriously. Oh, by the way, I'm not the only one that takes it serious. My daughter takes it serious. She was at work this last year, and there was a guy there at work, and he had sent her a couple of texts, and she said, "Dad, I don't know about this guy." And I said, "Well, just watch it, just pray about it." You know, he had kind of come around, and
shown her a little interest and a little attention, she was kind of saying, well, I don't know. I mean, he might be a good guy. And then she called me one day and she says, Dad, I've watched this guy's work ethic. I've just watched how he treats people in authority. And you know what's lacking in his life? He doesn't honor people. And this was her conversation. She says, and I know if he won't honor them, he's never going to honor me. I said, sounds like a good call to me. Sounds like a good call to me. What do you think? You see, there's enough girls in here. You don't honor yourself, so you're so desperate, you'll take the first guy that shows you any attention. You're to possess yourself in sanctification and in what? Honor. You say, well, I need somebody to love me. No. You've got a Heavenly Father that already loves you. You've got a Heavenly Father that already has a will for your life. You've got a Heavenly Father that already adores you. And if you would walk in a way to please Him, wow, you'd be amazed what God could do in your life. You see, there's no man and there's no woman that's going to complete you. You know who completes you? It's God. And I understand that the husband and wife come and they're one, but can I tell you something? It's not a broken person or broken person who comes together and leans on each other. One's a crutch and the other's a crutch. That's not a good marriage. That's a recipe for disaster. It's somebody who's complete in Christ, and somebody who's complete in Christ, two wholes coming together, and God brings them together. That's beautiful right there. So listen to me, young ladies. Listen to me, young men. Hey, get your paws off her. And understand this, that it's sanctification, and you are to possess your vessel as well in sanctification and in what? Honor. By the way, ladies, let me help you with something. The way you ought to dress will tell a boy everything about whether you honor yourself. Do not dress to be desired. Listen to me when I say this, and this is my wife's line I'm stealing. Do not dress to be desired. Dress to be admired. You dress in a way that'll cause him to respect you and say, she may not be the flirty type, but she's the marrying type. When I get settled down, I really want somebody to stand by my side thick and thin. That's the girl you want right there. That's the guy you want right there. Hey, just because he's a player doesn't mean he's a man of God. So possess your vessel in sanctification and in honor. I want to give you three things this morning. And really the points are simply this. How to possess your vessel in sanctification. Number one, write this down. If you're going to possess your vessel in sanctification, you've got to abstain from fornication. Here it is. Flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. The Bible says there's one word, it's a strong word, it means to abstain. If I came in here and I said I had the bird flu and it's pretty contagious, and I've only got 30 days to live, I guarantee you people would be staying away from me. It wouldn't take a whole lot. It wouldn't be like I could say, achoo, Kelly, how you doing, girl? I'm glad to see you. You'd be like, whoa, get back away from me, man. Abstain. Flee youthful lust. Can I help you this morning? There's a reason that the Bible tells us to flee youthful lust. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18 says this, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. 2 Timothy 2:11. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. When Joseph was in the house by himself, and Potiphar's wife came to him and offered herself and said, lie with me. Do you understand that if Joseph would have said this, well,
Let's sit on the bed here and talk about it for a moment. How many understand that Joseph would not have been pure before God? How many understand that Joseph would probably not have been used by God the way he was used? You know how Joseph handled that temptation? The same way that all of us should handle youthful lust. There's only one way to deal with that. Flee. Now, I just want to encourage you. Listen to me. I just want to encourage you that you get in your mind that you cannot handle youthful lust. Some guy says, hey, let's take a walk back here in the woods. I think I just want to, walk around the camp. Maybe we can just share heart to heart. Maybe you ought to say, well, buddy, if you want to talk to me, let's go stand in the light. Well, you don't want to be alone with me? No. Why not? Because the Bible says, flee youthful lust. And if we put ourselves, listen to me, if we put ourselves in a place to allow the flesh to do what it wants to do, listen to me, it's going to do what it wants to do. So I want to encourage you that you need to get a mindset that you flee youthful lust. When you're in that temptation, flee youthful lust. Notice with me in verse 4, when the Bible says this, that every one of you should know how to possess his what? Vessel. Number 2, listen to me, flee youthful lust. Number 1. Number 2, don't start fires. I heard a pastor say this, and I think it's a great illustration. Sometimes as pastors, we come to a meeting like this, and we hear people say, sex is bad, and it's wrong, and it's sinful, and don't do it. Okay, the don't do it is correct, but all the other parts, they're incorrect. I enjoy, think of this setting. You come into a house, and there's a log fire. How many like log fires? And when you come into the house and you look into that hearth and you see that fire there, and you hear the sound and you see the fire and the light, there's something that's warm about that fire. There's something that's inviting. There's something that's relaxing. There's something that just makes the room beautiful, doesn't it? You see that fire in there, and you just kind of want to sit, and you want to just kind of warm yourself, and you want to be close to it, and you see the light, and I love campfires, man. You just sit around them and just stare into the fire, and you see it just the colors and the hues there, and it's great, isn't it? We come into the same room and somebody takes a log and they throw it out in the room, and all of a sudden the curtains are on fire and that fire begins to spread and it catches the carpet on fire. Can I tell you something? If that fire is not contained in the hearth, if that fire gets out and it spreads through the living room and into the bedroom, everything in that room is going to be destroyed by the fire. Now listen to me when I say this. Sex is beautiful in the arena that God designed it to be in. That's in the heart of marriage. But when you get that fire outside of that heart, it's no longer beautiful. It's dangerous. You get that fire outside of that contained area, you put it in the bedroom, it gets on the curtains, it gets into the drywall, it gets into the studs as it spreads through the house. You need to understand something. That fire outside of that heart will destroy and burn up everything in its path. Are you getting this? See, a lot of you got the idea, well, I can dabble with the fire outside the heart, but I'm just going to tell you, it's going to destroy everything. You're going to get married and you're going to have baggage. You're going to get married one day and you're going to have some scars. You're going to get married one day and that touch, that should be a touch, when that husband goes to touch you and love on you, it's going to be a touch of shame and guilt, and he's not going to understand it. You really can't explain it.
but you messed up and the fire got out and spread and it destroyed a lot of things that should have been beautiful and kept and perfect and right. Are you hearing me in this? Now go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You're there, say amen. All right, notice what it says in verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to, what's the next word? Touch a woman. Now I want you to catch this. Nevertheless, to avoid, what's the next word? Fornication, let every man have his own, what's the next word? Notice it didn't say woman. It said what? Wife. All right, you got a problem with fornication? Then you need to get married. You need to get the fire back in the heart. You need to do it God's way and please God. That's what he's saying in this passage. The word touch does not mean this. Now, Kelly, come here. Kelly's my niece. Known her all my life. I don't claim her, but I do know her. So I'll use her for an illustration, all right? So you know, church pastor says, now turn around and give everybody a warm handshake during this course, and you know, you're like, whoa, there's a girl, not gonna touch a woman. Whoa, another girl, touch a woman. Whoa, another girl, don't touch a woman, don't touch a woman. Whoa, more girls, get away, get away, get away, get away, get away. Whoa, don't touch my... The word touch there doesn't mean that you don't touch. It means this. The word touch, literally, this is what it means in the Greek. It means to light a fire. It's one thing to do this, it's another thing to do this. Don't light fires. Everybody understand that? By the way, you know when there's an appropriate touch and you know when there's not. Go to a family reunion and there's grandma and grandpa and uncles and aunts and they're hugging you and kissing you, and it's a family reunion and you're like, ah. Then some boy comes over and says, hey, I'm here. And you're like, ah. It's not good to touch your wife. It's not good to light a fire. Some of you boys, let me tell you something. Girls, the way that you light a fire is with your dress. Boys, the way that you light a fire is with your hands and touching. And it's not good for a man to what? By the way, it's not good for a woman to dress immodestly. Say, well, what's the big deal? Well, I can wear what I want to wear. You're lighting a fire. Don't light a fire. Now notice with me. Let me use your Bible. Notice with me in verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it's not good to touch a woman. Does everybody see that? Verse 9. Now notice how the Bible works. But if they cannot, what's the word? Contain. In other words, if the fire's not going to stay in the heart, let them marry, for it is better to marry than, here's that word again, than to what? Burn. Take your Bible and turn over, if you would, to Proverbs. Thanks, Kelly. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 27. Verse 26. Notice verse 26. You get the idea here. Actually, back up to verse 25. Proverbs 6:25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?
Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? I want you to see the parallel throughout the Bible of how that God uses this as a fire. And he says, I'm telling you, contain it in the heart. It's beautiful in the heart. It's wonderful in the heart. It's appreciated in the heart. But if it gets out, you cannot take fire in your bosom and not be burned and literally wrecked for the rest of your life. By the way, listen to me. Some of you at 16, 17, and 18, you've taken fire. And the truth is you still have scars. You have burns. You have regrets. Because you've taken fire into your bosom. Did you not think you walk on hot coals, you're not going to get burned? Don't you understand what you're messing with? God's not messing around with this. Verse 29, so he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. A couple of weeks ago, I had a fire in my backyard. I had a 5-gallon gas can. Inside that 5-gallon gas can, I had 4 gallons of gas. I'd already soaked it down. I was burning some palm trees. The fire had pretty much died out. I did what you should never do. I thought the fire was pretty much out. I saw some white embers, and I thought, I'll just put a little fire on there and just kind of get it started again. So I just went over and I just went real quick. As I threw the gas on the fire, it just literally, it not only shot up out of the wood, it literally followed the gas into the gas can. As I'm jumping back and I see out of the funnel there, gas, and I realize I've got 4 gallons of gas in my hand. And all of a sudden I see my son over there, he's 16. I begin to run through the backyard. As I'm running through the backyard, as the gas is pouring out, it's literally like a liquid flame. I know in my mind I've got about I'm just thinking, this is going to explode. I run out to the front yard. I've got a shed, my house. I'm running around the garage. And I'm not a fast runner, but I'm a pretty fast runner when I got 4 gallons of fuel in my hand and it's on fire. I run out. I'm thinking in my mind, my 4-year-old was just playing here. My mind is just looking for her because I know I've got to throw this. I've got to get it as far away from the house as possible. And I want it as far away from my kids as possible. Because I've seen people who have been burned alive, and it's not pretty. You can only imagine if that thing would have exploded today, how that my whole arm would be scarred for life. My face, I may be dead. It was the grace of God as I ran out and I just took it carefully as much as I could, and I just threw it in the driveway, and man, when I threw it, like a bomb. I had a friend that was 2 blocks over who came running to our house. He was outside, saw the flame. Hey, Brandon, that's what you're saying. I'm saying I barely got away with my life. Some of you think you can take fire into your bosom and not be burned? You're a fool. Notice this. Turn back with me quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Number one, if you're going to do the will of God, number one, you've got to flee youthful lust. Say that with me. Number one, you've got to what? Number one, you've got to do what? Number two, don't start fire. Say that with me. Number two. Number three, you need to fear the Lord and depart from evil. He says here in verse 4 that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even in the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Now, wait, let me help you with that word defraud. You need to circle that word defraud. The word defraud means this. It means to rob. Everybody look at me. The word defraud means to what? Rob. It means to rob. Now notice what he says here. We're talking about sanctification. We're talking about purity. And he says, hang on, let me help you with something. You think the line is way over here, and you think, well, I haven't crossed the line, but I've gotten up to it. I've got news for you. That girl belongs to some father, and that girl belongs to some future husband. And that man belongs to some father and mother, and that young man belongs to some future wife. And if he's not yours in marriage, and she's not yours in marriage, get your hands off, get your heart away from them, because everything you take from them, you're defrauding a marriage. And the word defraud means to what? Wrong. You know how many wives have walked down the aisle, and the truth is instead of giving their husband all of themselves, listen to me, girls, they gave their husband pieces of themselves. Some other jerk had already come and defrauded. You know how many guys have walked up on the aisle? Listen to me. See, you play around with this, but this is Bible stuff. Will of God is not for you to just dabble and dabble and dabble, and then one day when you get married, you're going to get serious and you're going to completely give your heart to some guy. That's not how it works. A lot of guys have walked up here and they've made vows to their wife. Truth is, they've only given her pieces. Some other girl out here has gotten their heart. Some other girl out here has gotten pieces of them. And instead of giving all of themselves to their wife, they gave pieces to their wife. You better not defraud. You say, well, who's going to know? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord's... Read the next line. What does it say? That the Lord is what? Of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Hey, let me tell you something. You don't get to sin and get away with it. Say, well, nobody knows. Well, you need to understand. It's God's the avenger of it. And I'm just going to tell you something. You don't go against God. You don't live in an unholy, unclean fashion and then come down and just say, well, we're going to sweep it under the rug. Listen, God's the avenger of all such things. So don't defraud that. And you need to live in the fear of the Lord. For the Lord's the avenger. It's not a playground. Lastly, let me say this. It's not only a fear of the Lord. Lastly, it's following Christ. The Bible says this in verse 7. For God hath not called us unto what? Uncleanness, but unto what? He therefore that despiseth. And by the way, there's some young teenagers in here, and you're like, well, you know what? I've already created a lot of fires, and they're burning, and I've already crossed a bunch of lines. So, you know what? It is what it is. And I'm not, you know, it just is what it is. Read verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but who? God, who hath also given unto us his what? Say, Brother Nance. Talked about uncleanness. I've crossed a lot of lines. Okay. Let me help you with something. Stop crossing lines and get back over here today. You know what you can do about the past? About zero. But you can start today and say, you know what? From today, I'm now accountable. I've heard the word of God. And from now on, I'm going to do what is right. Some of you may be like a 14, 15, 16, and 17, and you're in this pressure cooker to date. Let me just tell you something. Don't date until you're ready to get married. Don't date until you're ready for a mate. Say that, ready? Don't date until you're ready for a mate. And let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something else. You say, well, I don't have a dad in my life. Well, then find a godly man and bring him alongside of you and say, listen, this is going to be one of the greatest decisions in my life. I want to make sure I do it God's way. with my son and with my daughter, we're close enough that both of them, and you listen to me, and this is going to freak you out. Some of you are going to be like, no way. Both of them have given me veto power over any girl or boy that comes into their life. You mean that you could go up to your daughter and say, that's not God's will for your life, and she'd stop dating him or stop texting him? You mean your son has given you veto over any girl in his future? No, man, they're crazy. They're stupid. They've got it down. God has the perfect one. And you know what they're after? They're after the perfect one. In my church, one of the men that teaches one of our Sunday school classes, he's also in the ministry, I was so overwhelmed when he got married. When he got married, he presented to his wife a Bible. 22, handsome, rugged young man. I actually just went out and did a 9-day hike with him in Yosemite. I mean, he's a great guy, great personality, great shape. Married a gorgeous, beautiful girl. Loves the Lord. When they got married, he gave her a Bible. Inside the Bible was a promise card that was taped inside of it. The promise card said this. When he was 14, he signed this promise card, and it said, I vow to live my life in sanctification and honor from now on, and I will pledge my body, soul, and mind to the girl that God has for me, and I will keep myself pure even until the day I'm married. When he got married, he gave her a Bible, and inside was that card. And at the top of it, he wrote to my precious wife, Mandy, I made this promise to you, not even knowing who you were. But today, I give you my pledge. I kept my promise. You tell me no girl doesn't want that on a wedding day. Oh, come on. You tell me no girl doesn't want that on her wedding day. Wow. I made a pledge to you before I even knew you. Wow. That's up there. That's Cadillac stuff right there. Yeah, Brother Nance, how's their marriage? One of the happiest couples I know. They're like glue. Can't see Matt without seeing Mandy. Got 4 great kids. Can I just say this? They walked how they ought to walk, and they're just pleasing God, and it just seems like their life is one of those lives that just abounds and abounds and abounds and abounds. And abounds and abounds, and it just seems like God just keeps blessing him and blessing him and blessing him and blessing him and blessing him. Say, I want that life! And you got to make some decisions today to get that life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.